Welcome to the AFP Report. This is your host, John Friend. Today is Friday, February 3rd, 2023. This is the 33rd edition of the AFP Report, a podcast series where I will be interviewing reporters and contributors to American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, as well as other special guests. Please consider subscribing to American Free Press if you are not already. Subscription details can be found at AmericanFreePress.net. Today, I'm joined by John Whitehead, an attorney and author who founded the Rutherford Institute. All right, John Whitehead, welcome to the program, sir. How are you today?
Busy as usual and trying to keep this country free, but it's not that easy to do that.
yes, sir. Well, thank you very much for joining me. It's quite an honor to speak with you. This is our first podcast and actually the first time we've ever spoken. And so just by way of introduction and background, you are an attorney and an author who founded the Rutherford Institute, which is a nonprofit civil liberties and human rights organization located in Charlottesville, Virginia. Your weekly columns are often published in the pages of American Free Press, including your most recent piece dealing with the truly horrific topic of child trafficking and sexual abuse, which we will be discussing in some detail today. Now, just real quick, we did just send issue 5 and 6 of American Free Press to the printer late yesterday afternoon. So the latest edition of the paper that includes your recent article I mentioned is being printed as we speak, and it's going to be mailed out to all of our subscribers very soon. Yeah, and I'd just like to encourage listeners who are not subscribers to the print newspaper to consider picking up a subscription today, and you can find those details at AmericanFreePress.net. All right, with that said, John, I want to get started and basically just ask you to kind of briefly introduce yourself. Tell us about your experience in the alternative media and the topics that you focus on in your writings and legal work.
Well, I founded the Rutherford Institute in 1982. It's 41 years old this year. I started it because I was a young attorney and there were all kinds of people asking me for help and they couldn't afford a lawyer for their cases. And so I started an organization and we cover the expenses. I raise money. We exist off of donations. And we've handled, I couldn't say it. Like this year, we probably filed over 20 cases in the Supreme Court, briefs in the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court. And I've sued in and out of Washington, D.C. for over 40 years. We work with attorneys across the country. I've authored 30 books, the last being Battlefield America, The War on the American People. My wife and I do a weekly commentary, which goes out basically internationally. It does. And you can go to our website at Rutherford.org, and download it. And see, we document everything. As people, if you look at our papers, our commentaries, they're footnoted, and we're not conspiracy theorists. We just want to put out the information. There's so much information out there. Most people, though, in my opinion, because they're obsessed with their screen devices today and stare at them all the time, don't really read the news like they should. And I don't watch television news, by the way. For a number of reasons, we want to get into that a little later we can. But I do my own research and come up with my own conclusions. I don't want anybody concluding to me what's going on, because there are a lot of good researchers out there that do really good articles on what's happening in this country and around the world. But the one thing that I've come to see, and why I call my book Battlefield America, we're battling for freedom right now. I would say with what's coming down the path with artificial intelligence and all the militarized armies and police, FBI agents now, and everybody armed now to the teeth with SWAT teams. We have federal SWAT teams, and we have agents running around this country, about 175,000 armed with hollow point bullets, which should be shocking. I'm a former officer in the Army. I was an infantry officer. We weren't allowed to use hollow point bullets. But we have now agents in America running around with hollow point bullets, 175,000. So we're fighting all that, trying to keep this country free. But to be honest with you, the battle is getting tougher every day.
Yes, it certainly is. And you do a great job of advocating for these issues. And you mentioned your website. It's rutherford.org. I'll have a link to your website when I post this podcast program. And I subscribe to you guys' updates via email. So I get an email update with your columns and just other things you post on your website. And I'm looking at your issues page. And these are issues that are, of course, near and dear to my heart: the police state, free speech, religious freedom, the use of drones, parents' rights, surveillance, and many other topics that you guys get into. So it's a great legal resource. And you said you basically do everything pro bono? Like
Yeah,
when you're helping clients, yeah, okay.
exactly. Yeah, we raised money to do it, and we have lawyers across the country that work with us that donate their time, and that's how we handle the cases that we do. And I gotta say, we've handled every issue across the board. I'm not political. I'm a constitutionalist. If your constitutional rights are violated, and we've got a case, we'll do the best we can to help you out.
Good, awesome. Well, it's a very, very much needed legal resource and institution. So I tip my hat and thank you for all your hard work over the years. And you said you founded it in 1980. So you guys have been doing this for
Oh, in
what is it?
1982, yeah.
1982. Yeah. So
41 years, yeah.
40, I was going to say like 40 years now.
Well,
So
I
that's
was
good.
doing it before then, but I was flying here and there, and I couldn't afford it basically anymore because I didn't have the people I was helping. Like, I handled the first homeschooling case in the United States in 1979 and won it and basically started the homeschool movement. And I mean, I had a father call me in the middle of the night, like 3 in the morning, and said, "I just got arrested." And I went, "Oh no," because usually drunk drivers, people call you at 3 in the morning. And I went, "What happened? What'd you do?" And he goes, "I got arrested for homeschooling." And I went, "They arrested you for homeschooling?" And so
Wow, that's
I
outrageous.
defended him and won the case on the constitutional grounds. And that the homeschooling movement took at that point, it was illegal in many states. It took off at that point.
Very interesting. One thing that I've really been following your work in is the total assault on civil liberties in the name of COVID, the COVID-19 alleged pandemic. And I know you have some information about how to like request a religious exemption or accommodation for the vaccine and stuff like that. So that's very, very important. And I would encourage people to check out your website for more of those details.
Yeah, I'm telling people, good. Our website's a good place to get educated on. I say, if you want to change this world, education precedes action. Get educated. And you can do a lot of good things in your local community, but you have to go out and do it. You have to get out of your house. The average American watches about 150 hours of television a month, and I'm telling or screen devices a month. And I'm telling people, hey, cut back on that. At least give us a third of those hours. Go down to your local city council meetings, your public schools. I mean, we have public schools today that don't teach the Declaration of Independence or the Bill of Rights. You got to be kidding me. We're paying
Yeah,
for that.
exactly.
And we have a Bill of Rights pamphlet we give to people to teach your kids at home. And we've got to keep educated on our rights. And we need to know that we need to stand for those, because the people who started this country got shot down the streets by the British. Their homes were raided. They were beaten up and all that thing just for standing for freedom. So it will be it's not an easy road to follow. I know that. And but I'm trying to get people psyched up about it, because if we don't, if you have children or grandchildren, I'm telling people, you better get out there and start fighting for freedom, because it's going away very soon.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I want to move on and talk more about the truly horrific subject that you wrote about, I alluded to earlier, and that of course is child trafficking and sexual abuse, which is a lot more common than I think most people want to admit or educate themselves about. I mean, it's a really, really horrific subject. So, can you talk about why you wrote this recent column exposing this terrible topic?
Well, it's because we've been contacted by people. We've seen it. I've researched the issue with my wife, Nisha, and we've written on it before. But we write on occasion because we want people to get in their communities and find a way to stop this. And I mean, every 2 minutes, a child is bought and sold for sex in this country. Most people don't realize that. But I had a friend of mine in the 1980s who was doing research on this. Is the 1980s, late 1980s. And he was doing some research, and he came to me and told me about it. And I went, "Whoa, I didn't know a lot about this." He said, "Yes." And he said, they're using children for sex and selling them. They had doctors that were involved, pastors, believe it or not, lawyers. You go down the list, and actually being police, by the way, some police around the country are heavily involved in sex trafficking. And they make money off of it, but they enjoy it themselves, by the way. And it's basically your average kid that's trafficked for sex in this country is 13 years old. But that means that's the average age. 9 and 8 year olds and 10 year olds are also sold for sex in this country. And foster home parents, some of them have been caught doing it. Even adults, by the way, who all have children have been caught doing it with their own children. It's a really decrepit thing. And when people, you know, again, the newspapers are really quiet about it. The media is quiet about it. But but going back in history, I saw references to it way back in the 50s and 60s that this was a beginning to happen. And it wasn't being covered by the media at all, hardly. The media dodges it. But there are, by the way, if you go to our website and read the article, it's called Evil Walks Among Us. Child trafficking has become the big business in America. You'll see how heavily footnoted it is. Now, there's been a lot of studies that show that all this is true.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and I'll have a link to your website directly to this article when I post this program as well. I just wanted to briefly read an excerpt here. You say here, it is estimated that at least 100,000 to 500,000 children, boys and girls, are bought and sold for sex in the U.S. every year, with as many as 300,000 children in danger of being trafficked each year. Some of these children are forcefully abducted, others are runaways, and still others are sold into the system by relatives and acquaintances. Child rape has become big business in America. This is not a problem found only in big cities. It's happening everywhere, right under our noses, in suburbs, cities, and towns across the nation. And, you know, you sort of alluded to it earlier, but, like, how are kids getting caught up in this? I mean, there's obviously a number of different ways that, you know, you could sort of find yourself in, you know, being trafficked as a child. But what is it? Is it more poor parenting? What role does the internet play? What role do, like, organized rings play in this?
They all play a big part in it. But what I've noticed, too, recently with social media, it's actually increased. What kids are bombarded by? Listen, I grew up in the late 1960s and 70s, and kids today see on the social media accounts, Instagram, you go on it, Facebook, they see sexual stuff that I didn't even know existed until I went to college, by the way, or later. So they're seeing it now as early as 10, 11 years old, and they think it's normal. I mean, I see young girls are posing now on Facebook and stuff, and they're like 11 or 10 years old, like I said, but they're wearing super short shorts, and you can see their whatever breasts are developing and stuff. They're showing it all. Listen, they're actually selling themselves now. They're being taught to do that over social media. And the one thing I will say about this, and the great writers of the past, from George Orwell, Aldous Huxley, and all those people that wrote the books that predicted all this, and Aldous Huxley basically focused on the Brave New World, sex is the way you control people. If they get involved in sex, they don't care about freedom. They don't care about anything. You get them addicted to anything. You get them addicted to cocaine, heroin, all that stuff. I mean, all the stuff that we see people are addicted to today, including sex, that's how you control them. And the CIA, by the way, has been implemented in a lot of this, by the way, in some of the mind control experiments they've tried. We've actually written on this subject too. It's called MK Ultra. Read about it. It's an actual program. It has been documented from the government. And there are people who run our government, by the way. And I'll just to give you an idea here. There was a study done in 2014 by Princeton University and Northwestern University that studied where money congregated in America, and they came to the conclusion it congregates in Washington, D.C., that were ruled by 385 billionaires. Then it was followed by another study that showed where psychopathology actually located itself in the United States. They came to the conclusion, the professors, that it was Washington, D.C. And they basically call it the deep state. So there is a deep state, but that operates and controls everything. But here's the thing. If you, I know most people have heard Jeffrey Epstein and all that, all the presidents that and big leaders that flew and had to his big sex parties and stuff. This stuff has been coming from the top down for many, many years. And the people running the business, many of them are sexually addicted, by the way. They don't have, and we've lost, we're in a depraved culture. We're not a culture that has empathy anymore, that really cares about people, cares about anybody around them. You mentioned COVID-19. Since then, believe it or not, I've seen it even shift further. People were forced into their homes, and most of them are staying in their homes still, and they're setting up neighborhood watches. They're watching people. They're reporting them to the police. I don't know if you've heard of welfare checks.
Yes, yep.
People have been calling the cops on somebody and saying he's crazy, he's doing this, and they've been getting SWAT team raids. Some of them hurt, some of them shot, and they didn't do anything. But their neighbors are reporting on him. You know who liked that kind of stuff? The Nazis. In Nazi Germany. If you look at my book, Battlefield America, you'll see I write about that, how much we're actually almost imitating Nazi Germany in the way we're doing things, by reporting on people, by watching them, and those kind of things, and by the police busting through doors in the middle of the night. There are approximately at least 100,000 SWAT team raids being perpetrated across America on an annual basis, up from a mere 3,000 in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's
all this paper. And again, but what I'm trying to say here is the government we're operating from now out of Washington, D.C., that controls the money, that overtaxes, is a very corrupt government. And it influences the local governments. But here's the key. Again, most people don't realize this because they don't know the Bill of Rights. The 10th Amendment to our Bill of Rights says that local governments can nullify acts of the federal government. That's key. So local governments can stop most of this stuff. Get it thrown out of their community, get their community cleaned up, find out where the sex trafficking is occurring, protect the children, get involved in the schools. You know, the schools, by the way, like I say, are not teaching these things anymore. And I'm encouraging parents to go toward homeschooling or private schooling if they can, and establish programs where we are protecting our children, teaching them their rights, and making sure that there's going to be a future in this America for the American people.
Yeah. Boy, that's so true. Parents have absolutely got to be involved in the lives of their children, their education of their children. I tend to agree with you. I mean, I don't trust any of these schools anymore. Certainly, you know, in the age of COVID, you know, post-COVID, I mean, what they did to the children, you know, as a result of that, it was just horrific. So, yeah, I tend to agree with you. You know, and you said a lot there. There's a lot that I could ask you. I actually wanted to bring up I remember reading shortly after I graduated college, I came across a book called The Franklin Cover-Up, which is all – and I actually grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, where this scandal unfolded. And it basically implicated a bunch of, like, very high-level political people in the state of Nebraska and also in Washington, D.C., and also media figures in this, like, child sexual exploitation ring.
Yeah.
And I remember reading about it, and it almost sounded like it was so fantastical. Like, it was like, is this made up? Is this real? But apparently it actually did happen. And you hear stories about this from time to time. I don't know how closely you followed, like, the whole Pizzagate scandal, which I think there was probably something to that, although it sort of got twisted and hyped in social media, and who knows exactly what the truth of it is. But these sorts of, like, high-level scandals – do tend to implicate some very, very powerful people in society. Do you think there's any truth to these sort of, like, broader conspiracies involving, you know?
Like I said, I've sued in and outside of Washington, D.C. for 40 years. It's the most corrupt town I've ever been involved in. I've had senators pull me aside and say, John, here's some information. Or former NSA agents have talked to me and said, here's what's going on in Washington. A lot of it's directed towards sex. Unbelievably so. It's freaky stuff. We're not run by people with morals, let's put it that way, who believe that there's a right or wrong. They want power, and that's what the professors showed from that Princeton study I talked about, is they want money. They want your money. They don't care about anything else. They want to control people. And Carl Bernstein of Bernstein and Woodward, who were the two journalists that outed Richard Nixon, some of his stuff, Carl Bernstein, after that big thing in the 70s, went to work for some of the major media outlets, TV and newspapers. He detailed an article freaking out saying, "I can't believe this." He said the media is run by the government. He said he was going in offices like New York Times and they're set to NSA vetting articles and stuff. He said, "We don't have a free press anymore." And so I'm trying to tell people, James Madison, who wrote our Bill of Rights, said this. Listen to this. We ought to mistrust all those in power. What did he mean by that? If you look at the history of this world, from Rome to the Soviet Union, the Nazi Germany, to what we're seeing in China now, it's run by people who don't care about other people. And that's what we need to recover in this country. We need to care about other people. It's called empathy, but we don't have it anymore. But that's what I'm seeing. I mean, it's been a long, long history. And right now, through shows like you're doing here in our talks, people have a chance to wake up, read the articles, get educated. Like I say, education precedes action, because I think we have a very short time. And most people don't realize this. They're saying by 2030 that artificial intelligence is going to fuse with the human mind. It's called singularity. And humanity is going to be disappearing soon. Kids are going into the metaverse. They're doing all this stuff. We're in a really bad situation. And I'll be honest with you, they know how to manipulate the population out of Washington, D.C. They've been doing it for years.
Oh, yeah. They are experts in it. They've studied us psychologically. They know exactly how to manipulate and control people on a psychological level, which, as you mentioned, people like George Orwell and Aldous Huxley were writing about, you know, decades ago. You know, it's interesting because I woke up this morning and the first story that I saw when I started my computer came out of USA Today. And the headline is Texas police officer arrested, charged with 27 counts of child sexual assault and indecency. So it kind of just goes to show you that these sorts of stories, you will see them reported in the mainstream media. But I mean, this is like an outrageous story here, but you wouldn't really see this like in national headlines and you know, politicians making a big deal about it. And this was apparently a police officer. So this sort of thing is, I don't want to necessarily say it's common, but it does happen. And it's, you know, if this one guy was involved in such a scandal like this with 27 counts of child sexual assault, just using common sense, there was probably other people involved with him doing this sort of thing. So this is a huge problem. Go ahead.
Yeah, in the article we wrote, like, Evil Walks Among Us, I want your listeners to read it. We mentioned the fact that police have often been found involved, and some in actually trading the children and trafficking them.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a big money pile. I mean, we live in a depraved culture that would – who would rape a child? What a kind of adult person rapes a child? A person who is completely depraved. They don't care about anybody else, but they're psychopaths. Like I say, psychopaths gain power, and they like power. They don't care about anybody else, and they're heavily into the sex today. But like I say, our culture actually pushes that. If you go on to Facebook or any of these things that we have on social media today, I mean, I see pictures of women. like I said, it wasn't until college I saw any of that. And I've written on this for years, by the way, how it developed. And in the early days with things like Playboy magazine, which became big and pushed all that stuff, and it just spread out in the culture through colleges and whatever. But it's a common business in this country, and it's run by people who care about nothing but having sex and power and money and living lavishly while we pay the bill. Mm-hmm. You realize this country is $31 trillion in debt, and we owe $300 billion annually that we have to pay in the taxes. And the biggest, two biggest debtors that the United States owes, listen to this, is China and Japan. We owe China so much money, and China is a totalitarian society that arrests people for making the wrong facial movement or jaywalking or whatever. That's who we owe money to. So where is this country headed, folks?
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, good points. Well, I know we're just about out of time. One final question I want to ask you, and it kind of relates to some of the broader scandals that I mentioned, like the Franklin cover-up or Pizzagate. And that is, like, what role does this sort of like the child sex trafficking and sexual abuse. What role does it play among the intelligence agencies and, you know, for blackmail purposes? You see a lot of speculation about this, how a lot of these politicians and other high-profile people in society are actually blackmailed by this sort of thing.
Yeah, the CIA has a long history of that, by the way. They do. There's a number of articles out there on it, and groups like that, they've done it for years. That's how they stay in power. And like I say, look up the MK Ultra program. We've written about it. They're into mind control and controlling the population. And you have to be very, very careful what you read and study, folks. That's what I'm telling people. Be very careful. Don't trust the government. What, again, James Madison said, we ought to mistrust all those in power. We're not run by angels. I don't want to say we're run by demons, but we're run by people who are basically borderlining demonic kind of mentalities, because they don't care about anybody else. They only care about themselves. And sex and stuff like that, and drugs and cocaine and all that stuff. I mean, the FBI was caught sending cocaine to this country and opium and stuff through body bags during the Vietnam War. That came up with the big open thing. They've been doing it for years. But see, they get away with it because we, the people, do not hold them accountable. And I keep telling people this. The Constitution starts with three words, we the people. And it goes on, do ordain, establish this Constitution, whatever, it goes on. In other words, we're the government. These people are supposed to be representing us, but we pretend that we're their slaves or we do whatever they tell us. Folks, listen, the people who started this country were rebels. What's a rebel? That's somebody who cares about other people and freedom, and we need more of those.
Yes, sir. Well, John, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me. Your website is rutherford.org, which, of course, I will have linked when I post this podcast program. And keep up the great work, my friend. I really appreciate everything that you do. And maybe we can do this again in the future.
Thank you, sir. Be glad to.
Okay. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Thanks.